2 Canucks talk here on Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. We're live from the Kintech studio. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. It's a Wednesday. It's a Canucks home game day. We've got a lot to get to, so let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, March 5th. We'll start with the headlines. And by the way, we'll hear from Rick Tocchet as part of the whiteboard here. But the headline is the Canucks host the Frisky. I'm officially anointing them the Frisky Anaheim Ducks tonight at Rogers Arena. The Ducks, of course, beat up the Oilers 6-2 in Edmonton last night. We mentioned Jackson Lacombe with Books. He had 3 points. And he dominated
the Canucks when they played last week.
And he has gone from...
He's the one Ducks player that's actually improved this season.
He's gone from like a name that not very many people have heard of to all of a sudden being like front and center in the NHL in a very short period. Maybe front and center is maybe a little too strong, but like popped up a lot on people's radars in a very short period of time here. You know what else this is? And this is dead true. This is a 4-point game.
Yeah, no.
If the Ducks win in regulation, they would only be 2 points behind the Canucks with the same number of games played. So, like, that's the definition of being right there. So this is a big game. This is a legitimate 4-point game tonight.
The Canucks have already invited the Ducks to the party by losing a 2-point game in regulation and a 2-point game or 4-point game in which they led by two last week. But, yeah, I mean, an 8-point swing against the Ducks at this point in the year.
Not ideal.
That's making them the guest of honor.
Yes.
The Canucks have to win tonight. I think, I mean, we're not must win territory by any means, but you can't let this anchorman battle for the final wild card spot in the West. You don't want to invite another news team. You
got to start kicking some people out of the party.
Yeah.
You accidentally invited them to the party. It was a horrible mistake. You've realized the mistake.
It's getting
now
late.
Put your foot down. You're tired.
You have to clean. Like, yeah, get to talk straight to people. Yeah.
Get out.
It's
get
time
out.
To
it's,
go.
It's time to leave.
Like, stand up from the couch, you know, like send them all the signals.
Yeah. Or just be direct about it.
Or you could be direct about
it. Be upfront.
But
like,
I'm tired of this.
This is boring to me. Leave my house.
I'm going to need you to go.
I've only ever kicked people out of my house once, and it was at the end of game 3 of the 2011 Stanley Cup final.
Yeah,
I had people over to watch, and they were like, not like totally happy, but kind of laughing and drinking. So I was like, everyone has to leave my house right now. Sorry.
Yeah. I've always been pretty direct about it, to be totally honest with
really?
You.
Really? You? Shocking. Yep. I'm shocked.
Hey, I'm
going
to go to bed now. Bye.
We should also mention, and we'll lead into hearing from Rick Tocchet, because there's a fairly significant amount of Quinn Hughes's of discussion on Quinn Hughes's health, but Quinn Hughes will not be in the lineup tonight. That's certainly a headline for the Canucks as well. And for more on that and everything else happening around the team, let's hear from Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, he's not going to play tonight, so he'll get a bunch of treatment today, and then we'll go from there.
Are you leaning towards the 7 days that you talked about yesterday?
Well, I don't know if there's how many days, but you know, we're gonna shut him out tonight. We'll see how it is tomorrow. That's really what the injury is right now. See how it works out. See the severity. Every day it kind of changes. You know, he feels a bit better, and then you know, can he get through a practice? Really, it was smart that he wanted to go out and test it out. He didn't hurt anything, but I think it was smart to him to get off. So we'll see how it goes from there.
How do you balance the value of this player in must-win games versus the long-term value of the player?
Yeah, I think it's the severity of the injury, where is it long-term injury, could really affect them. You know, this point of the season, a lot of people play hurt. Now, can you know, this guy's a gamer, so we, you know, sometimes you got to make decisions for Quinn, but you know, we don't want to ever jeopardize this guy's career, or it's not a career type of thing, but it's something you got to keep your eye on.
Rick, I don't think we've asked you, upper body, lower body?
For Quinn's a lower body.
It's got nothing to do with
DP
to go back in.
No, no, no.
DP to go back in then?
Yes. Yeah, he'll go in.
Would he be skating with Verona? Would he start on a pair with
him? He's going to get some time with him. I think we talked to Footy this morning. I'd like to see him get some time early with Phil, get him in a groove, and see how the game goes.
We're 48 hours to go until the trade deadline. Have you been chatting with management? Will you be sitting anybody out, or will you be playing forward?
Well, I think anytime you get this time, you know, things happen hours to hours, right? So Patrick hasn't told me not to play this guy, this guy. It could have happened, maybe, but like right now I just focus on downstairs, you know, when I'm called upon for opinions or that sort of stuff, then they'll call me up.
Rick, your PK is ranked 6th. It hasn't been that high here in 10 years. From a coaching perspective, who gets credit for PK systems? I mean, I know it's up to the player. Your goalie is your best PK guy, but there's something going on here. Is that you're in some rarefied air?
There's something that when I got here is one we had to fix. You know, in Arizona, we had a good penalty kill in Arizona. Yosi ran PK last year, did a really nice job. Footy's doing a hell of a job. So, you know, a lot of those guys take a lot of credit for that.
Why is Bluger and Suter so effective at the first
period? I think system-wise, I think their chemistry together. PK is about attack points. You know, I hate a passive PK. You hate seeing passes through PKs. You know, when you have a guy like Demko and a guy like Lankinen, if you can make him play half the net, just like 5-on-5, you got a chance every night.
Brock is a player whose name has been mentioned a lot going into Friday, and you know, his production hasn't been there. We know what you've kind of said about Petey in terms of areas he needs to improve. What does Brock need to do?
Yeah, I think, you know, let's face it, you know, him and Millsy had a lot of chemistry. Millsy drove a lot of play for him, so, you know, he transported the puck a lot. So, you know, right now we're trying to find, you know, compliment best. You know, he's not a transporter. He's a guy that gets to the end, you know, that finish. So that's been a bit of a struggle. So I think sometimes Rock might have to change a little bit the way he plays to get more looks. I'd like to see him. You know, he's a really good tipper of pucks. He's really good in the slot. Sometimes I think he's been deferring for the outside one-timer shot. I think his gift is around the net. I think that's something that, you know, you'd like to see him do a little bit more of.
Rick, piggybacking off of Farhan's question in regards to Quinn, you've got 22 games left to play. You're 2 points out, but you're still in the race. You talked about that yesterday. You got St. Louis, so you got Utah as well. What's the best case scenario for Quinn playing X amount of games over the last 22? Yeah. What's the worst case scenario for Quinn?
Well, it's a tough, like, scenario wise. It's like, for me, it's like when, you know, I talk to him every day. It's like, you know, how he's actually going to feel. Like, yeah, 80% Quinn is, will take on our team right now. But we also got to be careful because, you know, he wasn't himself the last couple of games, even defensively, you know, and we have to make sure that we give him a chance when he's on the ice that he can do all levels of the game. He's just got to pick his spots. So like I talked to him, if he does play, he's got to kind of almost be calculative when he goes and when he doesn't. And it's hard because he wants to go all the time. That's why he's such a great hockey player.
So you don't play again until Friday. Does he practice? Does he go through therapy? Like, how does he get himself back to where you think you can get him in the line?
Well, that's the thing. When you talk to the trainers and the doctors, like, is it good? Do we just set? Well, he had Four Nations off, too. It's, 2 weeks of, and it, for some reason, you know, you got over that break. I don't know. Maybe he didn't heal as best we thought he would. That's why we laugh about the Four Nations. Like, shady business, all that stuff. The guy could, we can't even play the guy, so how's he going to play for the Americans? So that's kind of the hard part is, you know, Quinn's dealing with some stuff, and it's unfortunate, but he'll deal with it.
Last one in regards to him. When you're dealing with one thing, sometimes you can
overcompensate.
And was that what happened?
Has happened, yes. There's a part of that, yes. You know, when you're dealing with something else kind of gets affected. It's not even injury-wise. Well, it's injury, but it's also just pain. It's a lot of different things, you know, how tight you are and all that sort of stuff.
Rick, when he returns, do you think you're more conscious, I should say, in terms of his usage in minutes?
Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, L.A., we were trending at the 17-minute 5-on-5. That was our goal. We went to overtime, and he usually stays out 2 minutes on a power play. I think that's why I went to 2020. So we were trending on that. But, yeah, no, we've talked about that. I've talked to Quinn. It's hard, though. He's a thoroughbred, right? You're trying to put a thoroughbred in a, you know, half an acre type of corral. He wants to, you know, run. And sometimes we're going to have to – yeah, he's tough to put a muzzle on. Like, he just wants to go. So when he does come back, we're going to have to really – he's going to have to buy his time because we need we need him to play for us. But a healthy Quinn. We had him shorthanded out there.
Did he could be healthy at any point this year. Like, I mean, when you look at the fact this has been lingering for a month plus now.
I don't think he'll ever be 100%. I don't think so. I mean, it's, but I could say that about other guys that, around the league. You know, it's hard to be 100% at this time of the year, you know.
You've talked a lot about playing for the crest. Yeah. Brock is a guy that's been here for a long time. Yeah. I think he understands that. What can you say about Brock as a Vancouver Canuck in terms of all that?
Yeah, he's one of the guys when I got here, I've really come to have a great relationship with Brock. You know, he's shared a lot of personal stuff, and so I got an affection for him. Like, he's a guy that, he struggled, you know, a couple years ago, and I think that he's one guy that has really played really well for me. No, I say a lot of guys have played well for me, but he's a guy that he's come up with big goals. He's a low-maintenance guy for me. He's not afraid to come to my office and talk. He's been a fabric in the community, you know, a charity. He's just, you know, everywhere he goes, fans love him. He's just one of those guys that he's a lovable guy.
And you put a letter on a sweater. I mean, that's a statement.
Like 2 years ago, who would have thought he'd, you know, put a letter on it, because that's the type of guy he means to me. So, yeah, it's a tough situation. You know, this is out of my hands. It's contract. It's all this stuff, you know, negotiations and all that stuff. So that's something out of my hands.
Talk about how big every game is. Obviously, yeah. Anaheim with their win last night. Yeah. It's kind of a rematch tonight. How much pressure is on this one?
Well, there's 22 games left. Every game that goes, you know, the next game it goes, pressure mounts. But, you know, we got to deal with pressure. That's the whole, you know, last year we talked about meeting pressure with pressure. You can't hide. You know, we should be embracing this stuff. We're in the race. You know, there's some teams that are out of the race. We're in the race, so I'm not sure why we should be hanging our heads. And there are guys on this team, I told them, they haven't had the year that they want, but they got 22 games to correct it. And I think you can correct some of that with, playing a system game, but also, you know, showing passion out there and showing the year's not done. I think that's something that you can't waste games. We talk about it every day.
They put a 6-spot up on the Oil last night. Why do you have so much trouble against rush teams? I mean, Ducks have a lot of really good young players as well. So why are rush teams causing you problems?
To be honest with you, I think it's a little bit of the D gap and the reloads. We really haven't had that much since I've been here. The odd time, I get what you're saying, but we've, you know, I don't know, before we lost the Ducks, I think we won 8 in a row. So, I mean, we got to just be careful of the narratives that we always throw around. Edmonton was all over them. Then Edmonton got loose like we did. We were up 2-0, and we started to get loose. And that's 60 minutes of leadership hockey, and that's what we need. So when you play the Ducks, they want to play a rush game, and you can counter that. And how do you counter that? There's a lot of different factors. Playing below the goal line, attacking, holding on to pucks. But you throw pucks away, and that's when teams like that, they got a lot of good young players that can score.
So
Lankinen type, yep.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet. And obviously, as I said, a lot of that availability focused on the health of Quinn Hughes. He will not be in the lineup tonight. That means Elias Pettersson, DPD, draws back into the lineup for the Canucks. But even just beyond his availability for tonight, a lot in there about, you know, first of all, it's a lower body injury. I believe you had reported earlier that it was a compensation injury as well, but Tocchet confirms that.
I wouldn't even say it was a report. That's what Quinn Hughes told me.
Fair enough. And then, you reported that he told you.
I just quoted it.
Yeah, but that's reporting it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
I guess I don't consider
it. No, let's talk about it more.
I don't consider it reporting if I'm just passing along what a player said to me on the record.
Or isn't, but couldn't you say that's the definition of reporting?
Okay. You're right. Let's move on.
I'll take that as a win. But anyways, he also says, you know, it's just something, it's partly, right, his performance, it's a pain thing. It's just something they're going to have to manage. And, you know, I think he acknowledged, like, look, Quinn Hughes at 80% is amazing, but there is a threshold where you have him in there. Yes, he's still helping because he's still Quinn Hughes, but it's not as if you're getting peak MVP level Quinn Hughes. And obviously we saw that dynamic, I think, especially noticeable against Anaheim. But really,
I think
three games
Seattle.
He played.
I think Seattle.
Yeah, that's fair.
Where
well,
it was
that,
like,
in that one, he ends up not
I know,
finishing
I know,
it too, right?
But it was like it. The Seattle game for me was
the Seattle game.
Yeah. The Seattle game was where his impact was more like a elite top pair guy as opposed to dominant world-eating force.
Yeah,
like for sure. Dormammu or something.
Yeah, so at that point, it's like, if there is it worth the risk, even if you think the risk is relatively low of significant long-term harm, to have him in the lineup if he's not going to be this kind of all-world guy for you when he is in? So, you know, obviously not necessarily a timeline, but it also didn't sound like, because sometimes a guy gets held out and it's like, hey, he just needs one more game out, one more day of rest, and then he's going to be good to go. It doesn't sound like the situation here. We've talked and acknowledging it's something they're going to have to manage, and he's not going to be at 100% or necessarily close to 100% for the rest of the season. So that is a huge deal as the Canucks are concerned going into Friday's trade deadline. And just to kind of keep the whiteboard formatting here on the broadsheet, not a lot to add, actually, believe it or not, in this section. I mean, certainly not beyond what we've already touched on and what we talked about with Dhaliwal earlier. Saravalli saying on the morning show today, not a lot brewing with the Canucks right now, which kind of matches what you've heard as well. Elliot Friedman.
Tomorrow's the day.
Sure.
And yeah, I mean, look, Canucks are both buying and selling. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
If they're selling, they're selling expiring UFAs, Besser, Forbert, and
Suter.
But keep an eye on Carson Soucy too. And if they're buying, they're buying younger players with term only. Those would be the markets that they're in. We'll see if they can pull off this hybrid approach. Price will dictate ultimately what they decide to do.
Yeah, and then Elliot Friedman echoing similar things on Donnie and Dolly, and also saying, as we touched on, don't expect an extension for Brock Besser before Friday. Of course, that can always change. And also notes that there are a lot of centers, a surprising number of centers out there on the market. We just saw one dealt today in Yan Gourde. So how does that impact what the Canucks are trying to do with Pius Suter? Lineup notes for today, as already covered, no Quinn Hughes. DPD draws back in. A morning skate, we expect the lineup to look like it did at practice yesterday. So that's Elias Pettersson with Dakota Joshua and Connor Garland, Philip Hedel with Drew O'Connor and Jonathan Lekkerimäki, Pius Suter with Jake DeBrusk and Brock Besser, Neil Zaman potentially with Nils Höglander, Kiefer Sherwood, could be Teddy Bluger in that fourth line center spot as well. It was Hughes and Hronek together at practice yesterday with no Hughes. I wonder if we'll see DPD jump up and at least start the game, take line rushes with Filip Hronek, even if they manage his minutes and move guys around on the blue line a little bit as well. But you'd expect it to be Elias Pettersson, Hronek, Marcus Pettersson, Tyler Myers, Forbort, and Soucy making up the defense core. No surprise, Kevin Lankinen gets the start in goal. Playoff and standings update. Canucks odds dip again down to a season low, 60%. After the Calgary Flames win last night in Philly. So Calgary now.
Pretty baller win with Connor Zeri going a little bit nuke there against the Flyers. They needed to have that one, as we talked about.
Really important
for
them.
But they didn't just do it. They did it in style.
So Calgary now 2 points up on the Canucks. Now the Canucks have the game in hand that they'll play tonight. They could match them in points, although Calgary would still technically be in the playoff spot because they have the regulation win tiebreaker. They picked up another regulation win. So you're getting to that point now where even like, you're starting to really, overtime losses or overtime wins are now,
but
like materially less useful for you than regulation wins.
And the way to look at the points, the tiebreaker thing is the Canucks aren't 2 points back with a game in hand. They're 2.5.
Yeah.
Right. They need to finish materially ahead of Calgary, although, you know, it's not like their tiebreaker edge is so significant.
No, they could still there's a good chance that if you beat them in point, like you'll have the tiebreaker.
It's correlated.
You know what I mean? So, but it is something to monitor that it's just, okay, if they win in overtime tonight against Anaheim, that's great. You want the 2 points, but something to keep in the back of your mind going forward for the rest of the season here. Gambling update for us.
The Vancouver Canucks are favored at home against this Ducks team. Obviously, the Ducks playing the second leg of a back-to-back. I mentioned that they opened as a heavy favorite, minus 250. Quinn Hughes news and a variety of other things has steamed them all the way down to minus 200. Ducks plus 175 or 165. Over-under set at 5.5. I like the under. But last time I touted that, before a Ducks game, there were 7 goals.
Yes.
You know, take that with a grain of salt.
But that was a Shelov's game too, was it not?
It was, yeah.
So that always factors in.
Wow, we're
in
at that point.
With the over-under? You definitely are.
Jesus.
What? Of course you are.
Oh, God.
How could you not be at this point?
You know how we're doing no getting pre-mad this week? Next summer, this off-season, no getting pre-excited about younger players anymore in this market. Remember Akito Hirose? Jack Rathbone? Arthur Shelovs? Like, we're not allowed to do it anymore. Sorry, market. I'm sorry, Vancouver. We're not. This show is now going to be no getting pre-excited about young players.
What's the threshold? Like, when? What does Lekkerimäki have to do for the remainder of for the balance of the season for us to be legitimately excited?
Stick.
He's just gotta, stick.
If he sticks, and I would say, let's go 0.3 points per game.
Okay, so 20 games. Let's say he gets 19 of those.
No, you got to stick. You got to be like,
so all 20.
All 20.
I was building in the one like, hey, take a breather.
No.
Scratch. No, all 20.
All 20. Wait,
there's more. There's 22 left. Okay. What am I saying? Anyways, 22.
22 games.
So like 8 points, 7 or 8 points.
Yeah, seven or eight points. 7 or 8 points, all 22 games. You stick, then we can start to get excited this summer. Otherwise, no excitement.
If he's on 6 points going into game 82, man, it's going to be high stakes. It's going to be high stakes.
Yeah.
Need to get that point so we can all get excited. That's the whiteboard for today. Again, it's the Canucks and the Ducks tonight at Rogers Arena. I believe this one is a 7:30 start. So, of course, you'll be able to hear it all here on the station. And we will be back tomorrow to break it all down on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.